My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I thought it was better in terms of communication first off then. At the Tampa game, we had a couple routes that we didn't match, you know, quite like we'd like. So that part was significantly better. To see us, you know, stay on top of routes and do things, they did a nice job of trying to get some play action shots. But you can live with the ones that are comebacks, and even if it's a, you know, 10 or 15 yard comeback, but you're on top of the route. But the ones that go over the top of your head, those are the ones that you can't live with. And so I was pleased to see that come into life more. I felt the guy's speed in the game. And I thought Quan did a good job coming out of the middle field again. That is one of the real strengths for him.
That was Dan Quinn. And I believe, Darius, that audio was from Monday. So we know it was truthful. Yes, that was to tell the truth Monday. That wasn't from one of the other days of the week.
Lying ass Tuesday. No, duplicitous right. Thursdays. Yeah. Monday's truth day.
Misleading Fridays.
Like, right? What are we doing?
I don't know. But I just want it known that that is, in fact, from Tell the Truth Monday. The Commanders have some things to clean up, as you heard him talking about there, defensively. Too early, really, to look at rankings and take a lot out of them. The Washington right now, 29th in yards per play defensively. They are 29th against the pass per play. They are 31st in sack percentage. 3.5% of their defensive snaps are ending with a sack. In fact, only the Tampa Bay Bucks, weirdly enough, getting fewer sacks right now than Washington, who they've already played. I want to get into how they can get more out of two positions where they have been weak early on. Defensive end coming off the edge and cornerback in the secondary. But first, earlier we went a little long with calls on stadium experience, and so we did not get to the three guys that Dan Quinn cited as really having impressed him to this point. He gave two defensive players that he singled out from the game and one offensive player. This was specific just to week two against the Giants. He referenced Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, and Frankie Louvu. Of those three guys, what do you make of those being the three players that he singled out of the whole team?
I thought that was interesting. Now, it corresponds with good games for all three of them. So it's not just patting myself on the back because those are my handpicked dudes, right? Where, you know, if Louvu had gotten beat like a drum in coverage a bunch of times or had missed tackles and you're shouting him out because he yelled on the sideline or something, whatever. So they all had good games. But it is interesting where it's like these were the dudes brought in to kind of help implement, to help culture change, especially Wagner and Ertz, almost like conduits for the coaching staff to a degree. So it is interesting that through a couple of games, those are the dudes that have kind of gotten the shine.
And I think specifically this was just, as I said, that one game, less maybe saying through two games, here's who I like. But in the Giants game, I kind of get it with Wagner and Louvu because I thought those guys tackled really well.
Yes, they did.
They played very physically. That was an issue I had coming out of Tampa, really both of those things. But namely the tackling. And Wagner was a culprit a couple times with missed tackles. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame because he's one of the great tacklers in the open field in his era. And he's one of the physical players at his position of all time. But he is leading the team right now with 19 tackles. He's actually already got four TFLs. Nobody else on the team playing in the back seven can say that. He's got a PBU in coverage as well. Luvu really hasn't made impactful plays other than getting people on the ground. It's 16 tackles with nothing else on the stat sheet. But I do think
I think that's coming.
Physicality. Yeah. And you saw him on the big hit. In fact, Quinn singled it out. It was early in the game. It probably could have been a penalty, honestly. I think he got some helmet to helmet. But on the long catch and run early from Neighbors, where they got in the red zone for the first time, Luvu came across the field, across the formation. It's what they love about him on film. It's what I think is going to make him an eventual fan favorite here. And he brought the wood. Like he was full speed ahead, crushed Neighbors. They actually pulled him off the field, remember, right before the next snap, because those independent doctors
right.
thought he needed to be looked at.
They go, hey, that was a big shot. Come over.
There's going to be a few of those when Frankie Luvu's around. So I get why he singled them out. Offensively, I did think Ertz was great. I really did. There were two receptions of 20-plus yards in the game before the dart in the middle of the field to Noah Brown on the final drive. Ertz for 21, Ertz for 20. The 21-yarder was a 50-50 ball. Contested catch. And I think Jaden got hit as he threw it, so it was kind of there to be intercepted. It was one of the only throws all season, I would say that about. And Ertz won a fight with a defensive player for the ball. He's tied for second on the team with seven catches now. He's second with 90 yards to Eckler, who's going to join us coming up in 25 minutes. He's got two 20-plus yard receptions, tied for first with Eckler. He's got 18 yards after the catch. Very, very little, considering seven receptions. 2.5 a pop. But we knew that. Like, yeah. He is not... We've jokingly called him a catch and fall guy. He is not a play after the catch guy, Danny, but four first downs. I really believe this, having now watched this offense for 2 weeks and seeing McLaurin, A, not being involved a lot beyond the line of scrimmage, and B, not really being able to separate frequently. I think Ertz is going to be their primary guy if he stays healthy in the coming weeks.
Big if, but yeah, I think there's something to that. I mean, right now, Terry McLaurin is on pace for 340 yards this season. I think he goes over that, but that's what we're looking at.
Okay. I hope he gets three times that. It would be a story if he didn't.
At least three times. It would be very nice. But in terms of Ertz, you know, it's not what I want. I ultimately want the guy that can do what Ertz does, catch the football, and then also, like, fall forward for another couple of yards or make somebody miss or rumble a little bit or be a threat in the open field. But they don't have that right now. Maybe Sinnott turns into that one day. But there's still value in Zach Ertz. If he's available, if he doesn't get banged up too badly and maintains whatever this is helpful. This is a veteran target that gets by on know-how, setting people up, being physical, using his hands. He knows what to do with the position. He's like that old guy at the YMCA on a Sunday morning that runs every pickup game, but can't even touch the backboard. But he's down there in the post just putting your butt in the blender. He's got that game right now, kind of that post-up game. And he can help. He's a target. He's a quarterback's best friend.
So I'm going to label this who's growing on you. And in the sense that Quinn said Ertz, Wagner, Luvu, how they played are growing on him. We're going to ask this on the phones, MGM National Harbor listener lines at 800-636-1067. I want to hear from you guys on this. 800-636-1067 to touch the people. Who is growing on you with this team right now? I've got three names I wrote down. And I want to get one from you as well, Danny. One, Brian Robinson. Now, doesn't mean I didn't like him before, but the way he's playing and the way things are developing on offense, mm-hmm. we're going somewhere with Brian Robinson, I think, in D.C. this year. This guy's going to make plays for the Commanders all year long. 173 yards through two games is number seven in the NFL. 55 rushing yards over expected is number three in the NFL. What does that mean? Next Gen Stats looks at where defenders are, where the ball carrier is, and where the expectation of a tackle is made. And based on contact and where you should have been brought down and what you get after that, there is a stat that I love for running backs called RYOE, rushing yards over expected. He's third in the NFL at getting more than basically is blocked for him. Only two guys have been better. In RYOE per attempt, he's also third. He gets over 2 yards every single run that aren't blocked for him, basically. That's a hell of a number for a guy.
It's a big deal.
Who wasn't rating like that previously. But I think what you're seeing from Robinson, and the reason he's growing on me, and the reason this running game has been so successful, this is a Jaden Daniels thing. This is 11 on 11. This is the old 2012 Kyle Shanahan, Robert Griffin situation, where Alfred Morris rumbles for 16 hunch because you got to account for Daniels on every single play, and we're seeing it already. It's not a coincidence to me that after never having a 30-yard run pre-Jaden Daniels in 27 career games, it took Robinson two games to do it this year, and he ripped off a 40-yarder already. I think he's been awesome. Who's growing on you?
Noah Brown. I mean, I was already, you know, tempered in terms of excitement of him coming in, going, hey, this is a receiver who plays in the NFL, so I'm excited that they're upgrading one of my, you know, what I think is the weakest position group on the roster. But after what I've seen, there's some physicality there. There's some suddenness there. At kind of, again, the move I keep pointing to is that stutter go, where if it's a different play, you know, if Daniels isn't hit or there's not pressure or he sees him on time, it's a walk-in touchdown. And I went, oh, man, that's one of those higher-level receiver-type maneuvers, right, where it doesn't feel like the other guys on the roster are making that route and that adjustment, that sudden move. The big catch there in the fourth quarter on what ended up being the game-winning drive, as he's still getting his feet wet in this offense, I think they got something here.
Two key first downs, three targets, three catches, 56 yards, and seemingly the propensity to separate at the top of the route.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of guys who seem to be able, certainly not with size, to kind of be twitchy enough to separate when they break out or in. He did that. Small sample, but mm-hmm. he did it in Houston frequently. Yeah. He did it before that in Dallas. I mean, this is part of his game. I think you saw something from him that is sustainable in the sense that he's going to help them. If you told me right now he's going to lead them in catches and yards next week against Cincinnati, I would not be surprised by that at all.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.